From KLW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Order of Milpitas.
San Jose.
Coming up, homeless shelters in San Francisco are at capacity, and there's been an increase in demand from senior women.
It's too dangerous for women to live on the streets. You're almost 100% guaranteed to be assaulted if you're a homeless woman on the streets of San Francisco.
We'll be joined by KALW's Rose Aguilar to discuss her research into the reality of being an older woman without a home.
You're on a very dangerous street, waiting at 2 o'clock in the morning to get a bed. You never know what's going to happen.
We'll meet some of the women who depend on the city's safety net and hear how it's being stretched far too thin.
We need more shelter space. That's the bottom line. And we need more housing.
The search for a home today on Cross Currents. Imagine, if you can, having nowhere to sleep. Now imagine that reality if you're older and maybe you suffer from illness or decreased mobility. San Francisco's Department of Aging and Adult Services says that about 19,000 seniors are living below the poverty line. And one place some of those seniors are showing up is at local shelters. Former Supervisor Bevan Dufty oversees homelessness for the city, and he says these days San Francisco's roughly 1,150 beds are nearly full every night. Advocates say there's been a sharp increase in homeless seniors, especially women. They say it was rare to see this population on the streets a few decades ago, but now it's much more common. We asked KALW's Mary Reese to visit two local facilities that serve San Francisco's homeless population, a senior center and a shelter. She spoke with several women there. These are a few of their stories.
It's lunchtime at Cannon Kipp Senior Center in the South of Market neighborhood of San Francisco. Most of the 10 or so tables are full. People greet one another. This is a crowd of regulars. Cannon Kipp serves lunch Monday through Friday to low-income and homeless seniors, as well as younger adults with disabilities. One woman postponed her lunch to talk with me. Zulema Iniguez is 63 and has been homeless for 8 years, ever since her mobile home was stolen. At the senior center, Iniguez finds a quiet place to be alone in the daytime.
The reason that I look for my own is because I am a Christian. I read the Bible. I like very much the Word of God. And I think so this is the thing so that they keep me to live in the midst of everything.
At night, Iniguez sleeps sitting up in a chair at a drop-in center for women, which she prefers to a co-ed shelter. Neither is an ideal place to sleep.
Different argument to people coming in the middle of the night with, you know, angry and all things like this. And so they have to call the police, ambulance. Some people also, they are sick. They call the ambulance, and when the ambulance are coming, everyone is wake up.
Restful or not, shelter beds around the city are in high demand. Next door shelter is in the Tenderloin and houses both men and women. I meet Mary there, a 60-year-old resident who asked that we not use her last name. She says she stood in line for 2 days to get a bed.
You're on a very dangerous street, waiting at 2 o'clock in the morning to get a bed. Around people drinking and smoking crack, and there's knife fights, and you never know what's going to happen.
Mary had another option, one of the many SROs, or single-room occupancy hotels, in neighborhoods like the Tenderloin and the Mission. But Mary says she doesn't feel safe there.
I tried this. This is not for women, believe me. Any woman that wants to stay clean, off drugs, or just keep their a normal life, this is not the answer. It didn't take me too long to just walk out, leave everything I had there because of bed bugs, because of drugs, and it seems like the first thing, even if you're within my age or anything, you're prey.
The women here and at Cannon Kipp Senior Center wound up homeless for a variety of reasons. For Mary, it was the sudden death of her husband. The insurance money ran out quickly. Still grieving, Mary resorted to drugs. Then,
living from relative to relative, and you find out that doesn't work because they have their own families, their age, and their own problems.
On a recent edition of Your Call, KALW's morning call-in show, James Powell from Cannon Kipp Senior Center described another factor driving elders onto the street.
A lot of the social service agencies
and services that were available in the 70s and 80s dried up. And that has left those who are most vulnerable, the ones who are displaced.
Family disputes can also play a role. Barbara Coleman, who was also a guest on Your Call, is 72 and a retired nurse. She now advocates for homeless seniors after being homeless herself for 11 months. She tells host Rose Aguilar about her son's drug habit and how it made it impossible for her to stay at home.
In my home, he started using drugs. I didn't notice because I'm working every day. He got belligerent is when I really found out about it. Until it just came to a head one Saturday morning, and that's when I knew that I had to leave the situation, not knowing that I was going into homelessness.
Then Coleman found she had to figure out a lot of things on her own.
I had to learn how to connect to my job, how to connect to different organizations that'll help me. And I did.
Now Coleman works to guide other homeless seniors through the maze of public and private social service agencies out there. The government, she says, has made it hard for people to handle the paperwork.
You go here, you go there. Mm. Everybody telling you something different. How do you know what to do? Who to go to? They direct you to this supervisor. They might direct you to that social worker, but that social worker can just go so far. But she has the information. Why don't they simplify it for our older Americans and also for our youth and children?
That's Barbara Coleman speaking with KALW's Mary Reese. Coleman was formerly homeless and is now an advocate for homeless seniors with the St. Anthony Foundation. You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. We'll return to Mary Reese's report later in the show to meet more women who have had to navigate the shelter system in San Francisco. It's a system that KALW's Rose Aguilar got to know well in the months that she researched homelessness among older women. Her findings were published in a recent article for The Nation. I asked her what got her looking at this particular homeless population.
I decided to start doing this research after riding the bus at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning about a year ago. I was sitting next to an older woman. At that time, it's mostly people leaving bars, so it's unusual to see a woman on the bus that late at night. I sat next to her, and I started talking to her, and I said, "Do you mind me asking where you're going?" And she said, "I'm going to a 24-hour coffee shop out in the Richmond District." And I said, "Why? It's 3 in the morning." And she said, "Well, because the owner lets me sleep there. And I can't find a shelter for the night." And I said, "How common is this?" She said, "Go to coffee shops, you'll find us." And that never left my mind. And so that's why I decided to start doing some research. I spent 3 months going to shelters, to food banks, to incredible places like St. Anthony Foundation. And there are homeless women all over the city, but they're invisible. Because when you think about what you see on the streets, there are so many homeless people on the streets, but 95% of them are men because it's too dangerous for women to live on the streets. You're almost 100% guaranteed to be assaulted if you're a homeless woman on the streets of San Francisco.
And that's one of the things that you actually found in your research is that these women all had suffered some sort of sexual assault.
Yes, they've all suffered sexual assault, especially as young girls or teenagers. It's an overwhelming majority of women on the streets have been sexually assaulted.
And so tell me about some of these women that you met.
Well, I went to the Mission Neighborhood Resource Center, and in order to get a shelter bed, you have to stand in line at about 4 in the morning. So imagine
4 a.m.,
because there's a lottery system, and you'll get a number at 7 a.m. You'll find out if you have a bed. So you need to be in the front of the line, because the line is usually so long.
So you wait in the cold for 3 hours in order to get a bed?
Yes.
For that night?
That's right, on the sidewalk in the dark. And if you're let's say you're in a shelter in Hunters Point, and you've got to go to a place in the Mission to get a lottery ticket, you've got to get on the bus to do that. And then let's say you don't, you do, let's say you do get the bed, but you can't go to the shelter until 5. So you've got all that time to kill. Maybe you were in the library yesterday, so today you don't want to do that. So you jump on BART and you ride it 4 hours, and you might end up falling asleep and you'll end up in Fremont. And I met so many women who ride Muni and BART because it's safe for them and it's warm and they can fall asleep and no one usually will bother them. It's really important to note that these women don't, quote, look homeless. They take really good care of themselves. They don't have tattered clothing. They don't smell. I mean, we've got that image of the screaming homeless man on the corner that we see in the media. These women, you don't know. They might be sitting next to you on BART and you won't know it. So then you take BART. You might go to a place for a free lunch. You will not go hungry in San Francisco. There are a lot of options here. You get a free lunch, and then you have some more time to kill. You go to the shelter at 5. So Marcia is 56, and she was taking care of her older mother, like so many women that I met do or did, and the mom passed away. She and her sister were supposed to share the money from the sale of the home. The sister took the money and left the state. Marcia said she got hit by a car and is now having trouble walking, and none of her relatives or friends will help her. And I heard this over and over again. It was shocking the first few times I heard it, but now that I've heard it so many times, it's no longer shocking. Yes, I have children, I've got friends, and none of them are helping me. So Marcia is living off of about $800 a month in $900 in Social Security. She lived in a single room occupancy. This is basically, it looks like an old motel. You've got a single room. You might have a stove, but you don't have a fridge, nowhere to cook. Half of her money was going to the SRO. The other half was going to food. At the end of the month, she would be left with $10. She said she's never been so poor. She said the SRO was filthy. There were holes in the ceiling so the person above her could see her. There was a guy that lived next door who never went to bed, so she couldn't get a good night's sleep. So she left the SRO, and the only other option is the shelter.
But why is that a better option? I'm curious.
Well, she didn't really know it was out there. She just knew that she couldn't live on $10 a month. And the SRO was filthy. She said, I've never lived in these kinds of conditions.
So you're saying that she can sort of survive on that $900 or $800 and keep herself in good condition?
Outside of the SRO?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she didn't know what else was out there. So she just decided to leave because she got so irritated by the whole process.
Assuming she'd find something better.
Exactly. So I would see her on a regular basis, in line to get a shelter, at a senior center eating lunch. Sometimes she'd get a bed, and when she didn't get a bed, she would go to Oshun, which is now called a woman's place. And this is a shelter that really shocked me because there are 45 women in this. It's supposed to be a walk-in center, but a lot of women stay there, again, because it's a safe place to be, but they're sleeping in chairs.
In these plastic chairs, it was sort of a metaphor for, you know, these, like you said, these kind of discarded people.
Right. And the city has since replaced the plastic chairs with cushioned chairs. So now we've got women sleeping in cushioned chairs at this shelter.
And your research, you found that according to Hearth, an organization working to end elder homelessness, that the country had 40,750 homeless people, 62 or older, in 2012. And you found that this population of elderly homeless women is very likely to increase. Why?
Right. They say it's going to double by 2050. All of the advocates I've interviewed say these numbers sound incredibly low because the numbers are exploding. We've got the baby boomer generation is aging. Every second in this country, someone turns 60. That's a lot of older people. The social safety net has been shredded. If you have a retirement, it's probably been sliced in half because of the economic crisis. And they want to raise the retirement age in Washington. People are finding that they just don't have options and they're running out of money. I met a lot of people who simply said, my bank account went dry. I got a divorce and I wasn't dealing with finances. I just never expected to be in this situation. It's really important to point out that I was only able to interview women who could sit down with me for hours at a time and meet me on multiple occasions. I couldn't interview people with mental illnesses because within a couple of minutes of the conversation, they would either yell at me, they would change their story, or they just didn't make sense. So I was really only able to interview people who 5 years ago never thought they'd be in this situation. And I didn't expect to find this. they're really easy to find. I'm afraid that politicians really don't know what's coming, because the advocates that I've interviewed said the demand is so high, we're bursting at the seams, we don't have enough beds, and we're seeing so many more older women.
And Rose, one of the things that's different about older people who are homeless is that oftentimes they have illnesses or disabilities.
Right. And maybe no health care. Or they have some health care, Medicare, if you're at 65. A lot of the women I met are right around 50-ish, early 60s. They look to be sometimes 70 because it ages you so quickly. And think about this. When you take an overnight flight for 8 hours, your body hurts, right? Think about sleeping in a chair every night. It leads to gout, chronic back pain, arthritis, swollen ankles. And then think about how you might have a suitcase that you have to drag, and then you might have a bad knee, and you're taking 3 or 4 buses just to go from shelter to shelter to get a breakfast, a lunch, and a dinner. That's the other thing, Holly. I didn't know how hard it was to actually live on the streets. I mean, you're constantly just trying to figure out where you need to go next and what is open and what happens on Sunday when most homeless centers are closed. Where do you go at that point? Just surviving.
One of the things that I noticed in your article that you said is like the weekends are the worst,
right,
as they said.
Because the centers aren't open and there aren't many places to go other than the library. You can still get on BART, but riding BART all day? I mean, you want a place where you can actually engage, because I found that the Mission Neighborhood Resource Center has Ladies Night on Tuesdays, and it allows women to just get off the streets and just be a woman. You can dance. They crank up the music. You can have a massage. You can get a new pair of clothing. And I've gone on many occasions, and these women say, it's just a break from the hell that I have to deal with on a regular basis.
That's KALW's Rose Aguilar, who's been investigating homelessness among elderly women in San Francisco. This is Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. We'll return to our conversation with Rose later in the show, but now let's hear more from women dealing with homelessness. KALW's Mary Reese went to a local senior center and a shelter to bring us these stories.
I meet Veronica Turner at the next door shelter in the Tenderloin. She's 59, and it's unclear how she ended up here. She was in a mental ward and in one other shelter where her things were stolen. Then she found a bed at next door shelter. She says,
it was like angel gifts. It's just a lifesaver. They just saved me.
Turner has asthma and walks with a cane. She needs hip surgery, something she can't afford anytime soon. Sharing a room here with 4 other women appeals to her.
You know, we laugh and talk before we go to sleep, joke and stuff. And sometime at the end of the day, that's the best time, is just joke around, you know.
Turner worked as an early childhood educator for 30 years and dreams of running her own preschool.
I don't want to be homeless no more. That's a scary, scary, scary.
Unlike most of the women I interviewed, Donna Williams, now 60 years old, said she chose to be homeless when she left her home in Oakland. She was 14.
Because I wanted to explore. I wanted to travel. I wanted to see what was outside. And she said, inside, I don't have to be homeless, ma'am.
But she has been homeless on and off through the years. She's in the shelter now to treat some medical problems. She says they saved her life by taking her off the streets. I asked whether she'd ever felt in danger in all that time.
No, because there's always been somebody watching over me. Knowing who it is, I don't know. But I've been blessed.
For a variety of reasons, these women have at one time or another depended on a shelter. It boils down to how difficult it is to find a home they can afford. Over at the Cannon Kip Senior Center, case manager James Powell says the solution to this problem is straightforward.
We need more shelter space. That's the bottom line. We need more shelter space, and we need more housing.
Despite the large scope of the issue, Powell feels new hope as he sees City Hall paying more attention to problems such as elderly people standing in long lines for shelter space.
I believe that there is a new awareness. And I don't think that everyone now is trying to sweep it under the carpet. I'm optimistic. I haven't been optimistic in the past.
Powell says the key to his optimism is seeing compassionate leadership at the top because, as he puts it, they've been fighting from the bottom for a long time. For Cross Currents, I'm Mary Reese.
Listening to Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan, and today we're discussing the rise of homelessness among senior women in San Francisco. KALW's Rose Aguilar spent months researching this issue for an article in The Nation magazine. I asked her what she thought was contributing to increased homelessness among older women.
Well, in San Francisco, you can't really get a studio now for under $2,000 a month. That's a major problem. But affordable housing across the country has been slashed. So the Western Regional Advocacy Project put together a paper that looked at how we got here. And this is kind of shocking. Between 1978 and 1983, the Department of Housing and Urban Development's budget, HUD, was slashed by 77%. So every time I ask these advocates, what do we need to do? Every single time they say, we need affordable housing. That is the solution here. We don't have any. In San Francisco, there are 27,000 people on the public housing list alone.
Waiting.
Do you put a woman who's making $900 a month in Social Security? Or if you haven't worked because you took care of your kids, maybe you get $400 a month. And the other thing is, when you look at history, I mean, we've had decades of cutbacks to social services, rising income inequality, attacks on unions, privatization. I mean, all of this has also contributed to this problem.
And what kind of resources are out there? Who's addressing this problem?
There are amazing organizations. You've got the Senior Action Center that advocates for seniors, St. Anthony Foundation. I would go there at lunch and I was blown away just by, I have to say, the generosity and the warmth of these volunteers mostly. I mean, you get people showing up without shoes to have a lunch and there's no judgment and they'll say, oh, what size are you? They make a phone call. All of a sudden, a size 8, new pair of shoes appears. No questions asked. The Canon Kipp Senior Center provides lunches and games. I mean, there are organizations that are doing amazing work. They're doing
so
much.
Is it coordinated between them? I'm just wondering, because you talked about, you know, women having to wait in one neighborhood to get on this voucher, to win the lottery, to have a voucher for a bed that night that might be in a totally different neighborhood. Like, what's the coordination like?
Well, that's one of the complaints, is that this specifically lottery system needs to be done away with. The women and the men that I interviewed said they want to be able to do it over the phone so they don't have to be somewhere physically and then be able to do it from the place they had just slept that night so they don't have to get on the bus. Other really quick fixes. For example, Marcia said, why am I on the same floor as people with mental illnesses? They need nurses. They need care. And some of the people that I'm on the floor with are trying to get up the next day to go find a job. But it's really hard if you haven't had a good night's sleep. Why am I on the same floor with men at an SRO? I don't feel safe. I mean, there are really easy fixes that can take place. Of course, the affordable housing sounds like, how would we even tackle this in this country? But a lot of the advocates say, look at military spending. You give me 1 month of what we are spending overseas on the military, I could house every woman, man, and child in this country in luxurious housing for 1 year. So they say we can do it. It's just, where's the political will?
So where is the political will? I mean, you had said that you thought that people didn't really know about this and that a lot of the time these women are invisible because they're trying to be invisible because they don't want to appear to be homeless and they want to have as much of a normal life as possible. So how much do we need to sort of raise awareness about the fact that this is happening?
Well, that's part of the problem. After I wrote this story, I got so many emails from women who said, I'm on the verge of homelessness. Mm-hmm. And I got emails from people who said, I had no idea. This is shocking. And when I did speak with a few San Francisco politicians, and Bevan Dufty, the homelessness czar, said he's willing to talk with the women and talk with their case managers and try to get them permanent housing. But he said the fact is we just don't have it because 27,000 people are on our public housing waiting list. And then I also interviewed Amanda Kahn-Fried, who's the policy director at HOPE for San Francisco. And she basically said, yeah, we know. Some of these people can't get out of bed by themselves. They can't take themselves to the bathroom. So we are looking at an idea of putting nurses in the SROs so they can help take care of these people.
Why did somebody like Marcia that you talked to that was on a fixed income, 800 or 900?
900.
900. Why not move to a place where you can get an apartment for that?
Well, that's, I think, where she is now because I haven't been able to find her. Last time I talked to her was, I think it was in late November, and she said she wanted to go to Reno because she heard that it's cheaper in Reno. A lot of people come here because of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
It's warmer. And in fact, I met people who said that they were given a bus ticket and told, go to San Francisco. You will find food, you'll find some shelter, and you'll be taken care of.
So what, other cities are actually giving people bus tickets to San Francisco?
That's what I heard in a lot of the shelters I visited. I even heard people in Oregon who said they were sent down here. Heard from people in Oregon who were sent to San Francisco.
But the cost of living is so much higher here.
I know. But we have this reputation of having a lot of services and being a friendly city to homeless people. So that's
relative
why,
to other places in the country. But and you're talking about this population that are women sort of between 50 and 65 so that they don't already have Social Security.
Exactly.
So not everybody's got a fixed income.
Right. Not everybody has a fixed income. And I've been meeting women who have not had outside of the home jobs, they raise their children and they're getting $400 a month on Social Security. That is, there's no way you can live off of that.
So, Rose, you spent 3 months talking to these women, researching this. What kind of was the ultimate takeaway for you?
A lot of people are one paycheck away from homelessness. And the emails that I've received in response to this article, a lot of women said, I never thought I would be in this situation. I never thought that I would be afraid. That could be me. But again, because I interviewed women who were not homeless 10 years ago, every single one of them said, I am shocked that I'm actually talking to you about this right now. Marcia said, I cannot believe I'm in this situation. I never thought I would be here. And I don't think society realizes what's coming because a lot of these people are one paycheck away from homelessness. And the average Social Security check, I think, is around 900. I hear 900 constantly. How can you live on 900? Even if you're in a place like Reno, where the cost of living is much cheaper than San Francisco. Food's not that much cheaper. It really isn't. Public transportation isn't that much cheaper. So I think at the end of the day, the question we need to ask is, what are we going to do with the older population that is struggling and cannot make ends meet? Are we going to let them die on the streets? Let them sleep in chairs like they are now? I mean, that's the question that we really need to ask. And we're not. We have to start this conversation.
That's KALW's Rose Aguilar. Her article on the rise of homelessness among senior women was recently published in The Nation magazine. You can find a link at our website. It's kalw.org. And now let's listen to a piece from our community storytelling project, Hear, Hear.
Hear? Hear?
Hear.
Okay, together. Okay.
Hear, Hear.
From KALW.
Last year, the Hear, Hear producers met Oakland native Barbara Lindsay at the Temescal Library. At the time of the recording, Lindsay was living out of her car, and she shared her thoughts on what it's like to survive on the streets of the town she grew up in.
An ideal life right now is just having a place to lay down and every night inside where you're warm and you can run the heat. My name is Barbara Lindsay and I'm from Oakland, born and raised. I'm living in my car. It's uncomfortable, my feet are swollen, and I've been going around trying to get help from various places. For housing, there's a waiting list for senior housing. Now I have to put down that I have an eviction, and they don't want to rent to people with evictions. We had one eviction, and then things changed financially. We were able to pay the rent for a while, and then finally we couldn't. This is a homeless services and map, City of Berkeley. Different places in Berkeley, they have food places, but they're on different days. Open Door Mission, Women's Daytime Drop-In Center, City Team Ministries, the Dorothy Day House, Catholic
Night
Worker.
Night on the Streets, Catholic Worker, People Park,
Monday through Saturday,
Sunday 7:30 a.m. meal,
Monday through Friday. I guess you don't need to eat on Saturday and Sunday.
You can starve for the weekend.
My name is Barbara Lindsay, and I was born in Oakland, and I lived in Oakland until I was 8. I lived on East 15th and 12th Avenue, right downtown, and then I moved to Castro Valley, and then we moved to Texas, and then I was there for 2.5 years, and then I moved to L.A. and was there for 14 before I came back to the Bay Area. I moved next door to my aunt and uncle, right there, right down from Oakland High School. I was there for 24 years. And I had the fireplace, a beautiful fireplace with a lion's head. You know, it was made out of stone, built-ins, built-in desk, you know, built-in bookcases. Then my uncle died, and then my aunt died, and I moved over to my apartment on West Street in 2005. I have to check my check register. I was there from December the 15th, 2005, to April the 17th, 2012. Well, we were evicted because we couldn't afford the rent. The utilities kept going up, so. Yeah, I'd like to know, how does one go about getting a place to stay? How does one really get help? It's like I get the runaround in it. It seems like social services, like all these groups are really overwhelmed, you know. And they refer you and refer you and refer you, and it's like, I'm not really getting any real help. And I don't know. I really need help, you know. I don't have the money to drive around and drop off applications all over the place for housing. You know, there needs to be a better system.
Here Here producers will continue to pop up at local libraries and at community events to bring you more stories. And thanks to producers Erica Mu, Audrey Dilling, and Anne Huang. Listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. Today's team includes Isabel Angel, Julie Kane, Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Chris Hoff, Panina Eilberg-Schwartz, Maya DePaula Hanica, Alyssa Kapnick, Ashley Ann Krigbaum, Erica Mu, Laura Saponara, Raisu Sussman, and Stephen Short. Today's show was engineered by Seth Samuel. Casey Miner is our senior editor. Our managing editor is Martina Castro. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. Also thanks to City Car Share, which provides an alternative transportation option for our reporters. You'll find them online at citycarshare.org. And thanks to you. We are listener-supported radio. Tune into Cross Currents tomorrow at 5. We'll meet a man who finds music in unlikely places.
You know, I'm one of these people who carries a recorder most of the time and sort of annoy my family by saying, oh my God, I have to go record this ventilation fan right now.
That's the next edition of the Audio Files tomorrow on Cross Currents. For Cross Currents, I'm Holly Kernan.
Tune in Monday at 5 for ...
Luckily, you don't have to know Morse code to appreciate Cross Currents.
I can't imagine a cow working out in the city. They're just too big.
It's tasty programming.
It's yummy and delicious, and we're having milk and
Vegetarians. Weekdays at 5 on KALW. And we're on the web. You can find all our stories, local music, web exclusives, and our podcast at KALW.org.